Marcus there if you'd like to. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 12. And want to publicly thank Brother Jeff for filling in for me last week and for Seth filling in at 9 o'clock. And both of them did a very good job, and thankful that we have some men that we can count on when to kind of fill in the gap when they're needed. And so thankful for that. And there are a lot of churches that don't have that. And so we shouldn't take that for granted. This morning, titled this morning's message, Hold Your Freedom Faithfully. And we're going to look at two parables this morning that Jesus talks about of stewards. An example of a good steward and an example of a bad steward. And then to ask us which we are, where we find ourselves in that story. Jesus, this section of Luke, Luke's going to be including several parables in the next few chapters, and especially in chapter 15 are well-known ones. But parables are earthly stories with heavenly meaning. God knows that we, as human beings, we learn not just by hearing. Ladies, you know, especially men, you can't just tell us something one time and expect us for it to sink in. Sometimes you gotta tell us several times in several different ways and write it down and text it to us. And, those that, you know, are the educator theorists, I guess you call it, I don't know, but they tell us that people learn best the more senses that they use. So if you hear something and you see something, you'll learn it a lot more. If you see something and you hear something and you do something, then you'll learn it and it'll kind of sink in even quicker and even more. And God knows that because He created us. He knows how we work. And so Jesus gives us these lessons, if you will, to help us remember and to learn some important lessons. And there's a couple here that I think are very important for us to learn. We're living in a very odd time in America. There is a lot of craziness going on. And I know that we're here. I'm not meaning for this sermon to be a political sermon this morning, but I want us to know and understand that there are those in our society today that are trying to rewrite and erase history. There are those that want to claim that we are a secular nation. Why, our nation is becoming more secular. It was founded on Christian values by and large Christian men. Our nation, those first pilgrims that landed, you know, I often get them confused. I think we all sometimes, you know, that's 1492. They sailed on the Mayflower at Plymouth. That's not right. But in 16 whatever it was, when they, Seth can tell us, this is a pop quiz, our history teacher. Yeah, it was. When did the pilgrims land in? Where it was they landed. Portsmouth. Wasn't it Portsmouth or something? Yeah, Plymouth Rock. Uh-huh. So our history teachers failed the history pop quiz this morning. Jamestown, that's right. Jamestown and all that kind of stuff. See, anyhow, they came trying to escape to a new land where they could worship freely. And so, you know, there are those that are painting great men like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln as evil men. Now, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln certainly had their faults, as all of us do. And yet, what they fought for and how they helped our country be better must never be forgotten. But you see, when we don't faithfully teach our history and remember the lessons that God has taught us in the past, guess what happens? We repeat those same mistakes. And so it's a dangerous thing when we erase history. And we are finding in our country, there was a day in our country where it would be unheard of for a governor of a state to tell church not only that they couldn't gather, but relent later and say, well, you can gather, but you can't sing. Well, that's stupid. So I guess I got political, but that's all right. Edit it on the YouTube and Facebook. No. I'm not worried about that. I'm not scared because we live in a land where we can say what we believe. And people are free to disagree. We have forgotten that. We've forgotten that just because we may believe different does not mean the person that disagrees with us is evil. We're still Americans. You know, churches are divided most of the time over silly, inconsequential nonsense, not over doctrine. Now, there are some doctrines that, you know, we'll stand on the firm foundation of biblical doctrines, the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, those kind of things. And if you start spewing some kind of nonsense, we'll say, oh, you can believe what you want, but you're not going to believe it here. Out the door you go. We can peacefully and lovingly disagree with one another. But Jesus reminds us in these parables that we so often get sidetracked. And we become bad stewards because we lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. Church is not supposed to be about us. It's not supposed to be whether we wear masks or whether we don't wear masks or whether we wear dresses or whether we wear pants or whether our hair is long or whether it's short or... You know, those are inconsequential things in the grand scheme of eternity. But those are things we like to fuss and argue about. And Satan laughs and has a heyday when we do it. And so there's some work that God has for us to do. And it's not seeing how politically incorrect we can be or how many notches we can get on our belt or how many good deeds we can do. It's about serving Him. It's about loving Him and loving others and making Him known. That's what the main thing is about. So let's take a look beginning in my introduction on my notes was not that long. That was just free information for y'all. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading this morning in verse 35 of chapter 12. He said, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find them watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect." And Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" And the Lord gave another parable. He goes on in verse 42. He says, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant only says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and the female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, and the master of the servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and in an hour when he's not aware, and it will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbeliever. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things discerning of stripes, shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. What a kind of odd story for Jesus to tell. In today's world, to think of someone as a servant is politically incorrect. If you called somebody a servant or a slave, why, oh, that would be bad. And yet, God has a different idea of what a slave and a servant are. And in fact, it said of Jesus, though he was Lord of all, he came to serve all. He didn't come to lord it over people or beat people down. He came to serve. And if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords came to serve, it probably would be wise for us to realize and understand that those that follow him and say they want to be like him do the things that he did. He was not concerned about climbing the social ladder or being politically correct. What he was concerned about was doing what God wanted him to do and being faithful to his Lord. Jesus was faithful even to death. We celebrated that a couple months ago on Good Friday when Jesus laid his life down for me and for you and for all the whosoevers in the world. He loved us and did his Father's will when he prayed on that cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus certainly, from a young age to today, knew and understood what God's will was, and he was always busy about doing. And in fact, there are more than a couple occasions where those that supposedly were doing God's work, Jesus got upset with them because they weren't doing it. They looked like they were doing the part, but they weren't. And so Jesus scolded. And so Jesus gives us these two parables to help remember that all of us are servants of not only God, but servants of each other. And we're to be servants of our communities and servants of our nation. And the Bible expects that God's children are good citizens. Paul, in the end of the book of Romans, talks about how we're to honor those that lead us and pray for those that lead us and obey those that lead us. In other words, we're to respect authority. We might sometimes agree, we may sometimes disagree with those in authority over us, and that's okay. We've had, five or six presidents in my lifetime. All of them have said some pretty stupid stuff. All of them have done things that would make anybody shake their head and say, what on earth were they thinking? And yet, regardless of who our leaders are, we disagree with them, but we still respect them because of the office that they hold. And we still pray for them. And so God reminds us and encourages us to say, you know what? This world says being a servant is not a good thing. But Jesus said a servant and service is something that's to be valued and lifted up and encouraged. But not just service for service's sake, but faithful service. Free service. And so he begins a couple things that we're going to see this morning is that as freedom that we are to hold faithfully to. The first is freedom to be ready. Jesus began this story saying, listen, have your loins girded. In other words, have your day clothes on. Don't have on your pajamas. Be ready. We think about those soldiers. You remember that a batch of them back in the Revolutionary War were called Minutemen. You remember why they were called Minutemen? Our history teacher will know this. They called Minutemen because they were supposed to be ready in a minute. In a minute's notice to go and to fight. Jesus says to us, be ready when I call you. You see, a servant does not set his own schedule. Now, some of you own your own businesses, and so you are the one that sets the schedule for folks. But if you don't set the schedule, and even your schedule that you set as the boss is dictated by other, like your customers and their needs and that kind of stuff. And so even though you think you're in charge of your schedule, you're really not. But he said, listen, you are my servant. You, when we give our life to Christ, we become his. And if we're his, that means he has the right to call us at any time, day or night. And we're to be ready. And when God calls us and asks us to do something, listen, it's not just because we need busy work. Leslie gives kids in school, Seth probably gives some, Miss Holly gave some, I'm sure, to kids that just worksheets that didn't count for a grade or anything. They just gave them, so keep them busy. Keep them out of their hair. Say, you know what, that, you know, it, and so it's God doesn't give us assignments like that. When God asks to do something, it's because there's a reason. It might be us that has to learn a lesson. It might be us that God uses to teach somebody else a lesson. Or it might be both of us that learn a lesson. But when God gives us something to do, there's a reason that he asks us to do it. And so we need to be ready when he calls. Oftentimes it's not a convenient time. And here we find that he said, listen, be ready. Have your oil ready. Have your lamps burning. You don't work in the dark most of the time. Your work's probably not very good if you do it in the dark. So you have to have some light. Jesus says, listen, a servant that holds his service faithfully is always ready. Paul says to Timothy, be ready in season and out of season. And preachers use that, you know, I probably will tell Seth that sometime when I call upon him at the last minute and say, well, the Bible says always be ready. Ready in season and out of season. Well, it's not season, but you're up. That's not what that's talking about, but that's how we sometimes apply it tongue-in-cheek, that we always need to be ready when God gives us opportunity. But listen, part of being ready is being equipped, But part of being willing, ready is being willing to do what God says. And so Jesus, in both of these parables, showed the importance not only of being ready, but be willing to do what the Master has told him to do. And in this first parable, the Master comes back after going to a wedding, which is a great big celebration, especially in the Israelite culture. It still is today. If you go to a Jewish or a Mediterranean, I mean, it is an all-day, in fact, multiple-day, in a lot of occasions, brouhaha. They've been partying and celebrating and all those kind of things. He says, listen, the Master will come in, and when he finds you ready, he'll tell you to sit down, and he'll serve you. It might be the second watch, it might be the third shift, but when the Master comes and he finds you ready, you'll be blessed. He reiterates or echoes that message in the second parable, and Peter says, you know what, are you telling this just for the 12 of us, or is this for everybody? Well, Jesus didn't directly answer the question, but he, by implication, said, you know what, it's everybody. And if you follow after me, you better be ready. And so, the first thing, the freedom to be ready, needs to be held by faithful servants. The second thing is the freedom to be serving. You know, in our world today, serving others is something that often is not esteemed highly. Business and so forth oftentimes say, listen, doesn't matter who you have to step on, who you have to cheat, who you have to knock down in order for you to get it, all that matters is for you to get ahead. That's how the world thinks. Well, God's operation does not work that way. His idea of greatness is in service. His idea of leadership is somebody that's not a dictator or somebody that just tells others what to do. But the sign of a leader in greatness is somebody that's there to serve those that he or she leads. And so there will be times of service. You remember in John chapter 13, after the Lord's they celebrated the Passover. You remember what Jesus did? Said that Jesus got up from the table, and he took off his coat and he wrapped himself with a towel and got a basin and a pitcher. And he began to wash the disciples' feet. And afterwards, he said, you know what? You don't understand right now what I'm doing and what I've done to you, but you will get it. He said, you've called me Lord and Master, and you say rightly, for so I am. And you remember, he said, if I, your Lord and Master, have stooped down and served you, if I've washed your feet, happy are you, blessed are you, if you wash one another's feet. Sometimes it's easy to serve others. When we're in good moods and we're with friends, it's easy to serve them. But when our friends are cranky or there's some whatever's in a relationship, it's harder to serve. And sometimes it's really hard to serve those that have persecuted us or really don't want our service to start with. But the thing is, those that reject or say they don't need the service and the love of God and His people are the ones that need it the most. And so we must be ready always to look for opportunities to meet the needs of others. It may be people that we don't know. It may be strangers. It may be family members. It might be people that we would consider enemies. But when God says to us and, you know, nudges us through the Holy Spirit, hey, I want you to do this, we darn tootin' better be doing it. And say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve. A great example is that we, you know, the block party that we'll have next month. That sign-up sheet again is out there on that table. There's some spots left to fill. And if your name is not on that sheet yet, you can put your name on it. Again, you can't do everything, but you can do something. And there will be people that come that perhaps have never come to church before. There are people that will come that will never darken the doors of this church. That's not the point. The point is for us to serve our neighborhood and let them know that God loves them and cares about them. And there will be maybe one. And if there's one soul that comes to Christ and spends eternity in heaven because we fed them a hamburger and played a game or painted their face, then it will be worth it. And what an exciting thing that is for us to have a part in it. You may not be the one that leads a person to Christ. You may not even meet the person, but you having a part in that event, you have a part in that person coming to know the Lord. And then finally this morning, not only do we need to have the freedom to be serving, but we need to understand and say that, hey, listen, there'll be freedom to be honoring. And Jesus says, listen, when a faithful servant faithfully serves, the master will honor him. He will lift him up. He'll give him the wages that he's earned. He'll celebrate him. He'll say, sit down and let me give you a feast. But when the unfaithful steward, that unfaithful servant say, you know what? The master was supposed to be here an hour ago. He hadn't shown up yet. I'm going to take charge. And you know what? I'm not going to just take charge. I'm going to make things difficult. And I might berate those other servants, or I might even beat some of them. And I may take the things that the master has that I'm supposed to be looking out for and protecting. Now, the master would eventually give the servant part of those things anyway, wouldn't he? But when this unfaithful servant just took it upon himself to take it, boy, that was bad. And in fact, Jesus said, you know what? The master, when he comes, and he'll come when on a day when that unfaithful servant isn't looking for him, and he's not prepared himself, and he's not doing his will be beaten with many stripes. He said, to everyone who much is given, much will be required. And he that has much been committed to him has a great deal of responsibility. What does that mean? It means that we are called to choose to, not, first of all, know God's will. He doesn't send us an email. Sometimes I wish he would. I said, God, if you would just email, make it clear and show me what to do, by George, we'll do it. And we'll might do it mightily with all our heart. But he doesn't work that way. He doesn't give us a 25-page, you know, how-to. He expects us to listen, and he gives us bite-sized pieces because he knows if we're not faithful with the little piece, we're not going to be faithful with the whole project. He says it another way in a parable in Matt that, listen, he that's faithful in a little will also be faithful with much. But he that's unfaithful with a little cannot be trusted with a lot either. And so if a person can't be faithful to do what God's told him to do in little things, God's not going to entrust big things to him. But here's the thing, God oftentimes reveals his will to us in little pieces. And when we're faithful with that little piece and we've done that, then God...
It's because we're not listening. We're not seeking. We're not trying to hear God's... It's not that God's not telling us what to do. It's we're not listening. It's that part-time hard of hearing disease that some of us are so prone to. When someone's telling us something we really don't want to hear, or our wife is asking us to do something that we don't really want to do, oh, baby, I didn't hear you. Or our wives don't hear us say, you know, something we've asked them, they don't want to, they do that too. It goes both ways. But we, as human beings, we're all prone to it. Sometimes you have to work to determine God's... He doesn't just, again, give it to you in an email or a spreadsheet. We have to seek it out. Sometimes we have to pray more than 30 seconds about it. Sometimes we have to, now God, sometimes he does answer prayers in 30 seconds. You say, Lord, I don't know what, and it's just like that, we know what we're supposed to do. But a lot of times, it takes a lot longer. And we have to pray a lot harder. We have to sometimes work to get to where God wants us to be. And so it's not an easy road, but it's a blessed one. And it's one that if we'll be faithful to follow and we'll be busy doing the things that God has called us to do, when he comes back, and he is coming back, and I can tell you, I don't know the day or the hour, but I can guarantee it's closer today than it was yesterday. And our world, is it spinning out of control? By the way, Jesus said that's one of the things that's going to point to the time of his coming being at hand. And increases in natural disasters and tornadoes and hurricanes and all these kind of things. So Jesus is coming again. But the thing is to us, church, are we doing what he's asked us to do to get ready? Are we ready at a moment's notice that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and directs us to do something, do we do it? Or are we first prone to say, well, that must have been that bad Taco Bell that I had for lunch, and surely that's not the Lord. Do we say, well, it hasn't popped up yet, so it must not be God's will, so we just give up and we go about doing something else? The thing is, we have to know God's will. Your pastor's not the master. Your deacon's not the master. You're not the master. Jesus is the master. And it's not your will that you need to know. It's His will that you need to know and do. And sometimes His will does not align with yours. And the thing that makes the determination between whether we're faithful or the unfaithful servant is if we pick our will or we pick His will. The choice is always up to us. You see, the thing about our Master and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, is He never forces Himself on us. Now, He's not going to quiet up and let up and just let us off the hook if we don't do what He's asked us to do. He'll let us choose to do wrong. He'll let us ignore Him. He'll let us do the exact opposite of what He's told us to do, just like Jonah in the Old Testament. You remember God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to tell the people there about my love and grace and how they can know me and salvation. Noah got in a boat and sailed completely the opposite way. God let him. But you better believe God sent a storm. And God sent a great fish, whether it was a whale or a giant grouper or whatever it was. It was a great fish. And that fish swallowed up Jonah and kept him for 3 days until Jonah finally came to his senses and said, you know what? I probably ought to have done what God told me to do. And God has probably had to do that to all of us at some time in our life. Because we are strong-headed or pig-headed or bull-headed or whatever you want to call it. Sometimes we just don't listen. We know exactly what God wants us to do. We just don't want to do it. Jesus reminds us in these two parables when Peter says, Lord, is this for everybody or just for us? And so he makes the point at the end. He says, listen, to those who much has been committed. And Jesus sat and talked and lived for 3 years with these 12 men. And they were more accountable for what Jesus taught them than anyone else was. They were doubly accountable. But all of us are accountable. And all of us have been called to serve the Lord. How we do that? We serve each other. We serve our communities and our world. By making this place a better place, by sharing our testimony, by telling folks that, hey, listen, just like God cleaned me up and God changed me, He can clean you up and change you too. I'm thankful that there's not one person that's beyond the saving arm of Jesus Christ. He will save anyone who asks. But once we ask, and He receives us, that means we've turned ownership of our life over to Him. And so we need to be ready to serve Him when He calls. And we need to be faithful to do the things that He's asked us to do. So I hope God will help us with that. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You so much for Your goodness and Your love to us. And Lord, we pray that You would speak to our hearts. Help us to be faithful to follow you, Lord. Our prayer is you would find us faithful, that you'd be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.